Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
The dollar takes a pound.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. $2 and a nickel. That's how much it'll cost you to buy a British pound. It's the highest the pound has been in 26 years. The euro keeps climbing, too. Today it's at $1.38. Now, you know this is crummy news if you're planning to head to Europe this summer. But I asked our London bureau chief, Stephen Beard, the other effects.
What it will mean, of course, is that European exports to the US will become a lot more expensive. That'll be bad for European exports. It'll be bad for countries like Germany, which is one of the world's major exporters, which has essentially kept its economy afloat by exporting to the US. If we take, though, an individual company like Airbus, it's in deep trouble for all sorts of reasons. But one of the big problems it has is that it sells its aircraft priced in US dollars, but most of its costs are in euros. So as the dollar declines, its profits are going to cover less and less of its euro costs.
So, Stephen, it's not just the tourists who are hit by this, the tourism industry that's hit by this, which, of course, is enormous. What you're saying is that it has deeper effects. Does anybody benefit from the dollar falling?
The U.S. will certainly benefit, and it's what the U.S. needs to deal with this huge trade deficit, because obviously a weaker dollar will make it more difficult for Americans to import those increasingly expensive goods from abroad while making American goods much more attractive in overseas markets.
That's our Stephen Beard in London. And on Wall Street Tuesday, the Dow closed up 20 to 13,971. The NASDAQ closed up 15 to 2712. And the S&P closed flat at 1549. They're calling it Project Early Departure. And the people at Southwest Airlines aren't talking about planes. They've offered exit packages to a quarter of their employees, a cost-cutting move, of course. Who's responsible for airport delays? Senator Charles Schumer blames the head of the Federal Aviation Administration, and he wants the FAA's administrator to resign. But there are other factors in play, some of which may be reflected in airline earnings reports to be released today. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Airlines have been flying with fewer vacant seats than ever. That's partly because carriers have reduced the number of planes in the air. Fewer flights can mean more delays, while fuller flights translates into higher profits.
Unfortunately, because of high fuel prices and the inability to get across the board, ticket price increases, the profitability is not where it should be with this level of demand.
That's Ray Neidel, airline analyst with Calion Securities. He says competition from low-cost carriers has kept prices from rising. As a result, Neidel expects the industry had a good second quarter, but not great.
Profits should actually be up year over year. However, not at nearly the levels where the airlines need them to be to make up for all the years they lost money.
As far as delays go, Neidel said that if politicians were serious about improving air traffic control, they'd bite the bullet and pay for a multi-billion-dollar upgrade for outdated technology. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
The FTC talks today about how companies can help reduce child obesity with better marketing. But nearly a dozen food and drink makers are pulling out all the public relations stops today in the hopes of avoiding government regulations. Companies like Pepsi and McDonald's are promising today to be more responsible when it comes to things like product placement and advertising in schools. For example, soon General Mills plans on putting SpongeBob SquarePants on packages of frozen vegetables.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org. By the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually, and working for an energy-independent America. Publictransportation.org. And by American Public Media's weekly program, Speaking of Faith. Starting July 19th, Krista Tippett explores the ethics of eating with author Barbara Kingsolver. SpeakingofFaith.org.
Worthless. That's what Bear Stearns is telling investors in two of its hedge funds. Blame it on investments in subprime mortgages. Bear Stearns has plunked down $1.6 billion in rescue financing. Now, you've heard a lot about hedge funds and private equity funds in the last 6 months. Commentator Robert Reich says there's even more to the story.
Hedge funds and private equity funds are so unregulated, they can get high returns from risky deals unavailable to mutual funds or publicly traded companies. And with lots of money sloshing around the global economy, those risky deals don't seem all that risky. But what happens when the bottom falls out? I mean, it's one thing if wealthy investors lose their shirts off their backs. They still have plenty of freshly ironed ones back in the closet. In fact, the argument for not regulating hedge funds and private equity funds is that their investors are big enough and tough enough to take care of themselves. But corporate and government pension plans are increasingly investing in these funds with money that was previously invested conservatively on behalf of their beneficiaries. Some states have put 20% or more of public employee pension savings into them. Corporate pension plans, as much as 40% of employee savings. But the individuals counting on retirement checks are neither big enough nor tough enough to take care of themselves. Few, if any, pension plan managers have any idea of the specific risks they're taking because hedge funds and private equity funds don't have to disclose them. And the people whose pensions are at stake, teachers, policemen, civil servants, and other working Americans, don't have a clue. The fact is, there's no free lunch, folks. High rewards coming from high risks are vulnerable to high losses. Diversification is wise, but there's no escaping Newton's law. What goes up eventually comes down. Even after the fall, hedge fund and private equity managers will be able to retire with the fortunes they've amassed, but the rest of us may not even get what we're owed. Message to the rest of us. At least call your plan manager and find out how much of your savings are being invested in hedge funds and private equity.
Robert Reich was Secretary of Labor for President Clinton. Now he teaches at UC Berkeley in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.